Welcome to this very special bonus episode of Sound Opinions. Greg, as you know, on the last episode, the one that aired on radio as well as podcast, we talked about our best albums of 2020. When we do this, we can only do about five each, so we don't get to do our top 10. In fact, you and I both chart a top 20. You did a top 40 this year?
Yeah.
I haven't done a top 40 since I left the Sun-Times. Anyway, we never get to talk about all the albums we want to talk about. So we are doing this bonus where I talked about my top five albums of 2020. Actually, I did the top six because you talked about Run the Jewels. But my top six were Shamika Copeland, Uncivil War, Ganser, Just Look at That Sky, Angelica Garcia, Cha-Cha Palace, Jason Isbell, Reunions, I Seated Number 5, Run the Jewels, RTJ4 to You, and Lucinda Williams, Good Souls, Better Angels. What were the top five or so that you talked about?
Yes, Jim, I had Salt, who had released two excellent albums in 2020, Untitled Black Is and Untitled Rise. They were my co-number one albums.
I did the same thing.
They complement each other.
I snuck those in together at number 10.
I think they do work together as a, you know, essentially a double album in the old parlance.
Yeah.
Run the Jewels, you mentioned RTJ4, number two for me, Milk Belly, a great record called Pith, number three. You mentioned Angelica Garcia. I put her in my top five as well. She's number four with Cha-Cha Palace. Fiona Apple, Fetch the Bolt Cutters, number five. My number six was Bartice Strange, Live Forever. And now I'm going to go into my second 10. I wanted to acknowledge Bob Dylan at number 13. His, you know, extraordinary 39th studio album at age 79. I think Dylan's records in the 2000s that he's been self-producing as Jack Frost, with his touring band, essentially, have been pretty representative records. In fact, one of the last concerts I saw when we could still go to concerts,
I remember,
in 2019 was a Dylan show where I thought the guy was sounded as good as he has in quite some time. And this record is representative of, you know, the renaissance that Dylan has had from a standpoint of understanding how he needs to record himself to sound, you know, if not. Nobody's ever going to be saying, what a pleasing voice Bob has. But in terms of that sort of, you know, bar band writ large approach that he's taken, this is a wonderful example of that. There's a road band, sparse arrangements, that noirish take they have on the blues, you know, some doo-wop flavored harmonies in there. He's reaching back to those 20th century styles that influenced him from the start, and, you know, that swinging rhythm section. On top of that, lyrics that are addressing where we are now as a people, as a country, as a world. The idea that the world is full of lies, right?
Yeah.
There's wicked politicians and false prophets everywhere you go. And what I love, that line in that 17-minute epic single that he put out, Murder Most Foul, the whole notion of thousands were watching, no one saw a thing. So people say, oh, he's talking about the Kennedy shooting. Well, yeah, but he's also talking about the fact that the whole world is watching, but they're all getting a different truth out of it. They have their own truth. And as a result, there is no commonality anymore. There is no sense of we can unite around certain things. Now we're just all about partisan politics. And I thought this is an album that's very much addressing that cultural divide, that that divide of perception, you know, colored by media in the world that we're living in today. Here's a track that speaks to that directly. False Prophet from Rough and Rowdy Ways by Bob Dylan on Sound Opinions.
Another day they don't end, another ship going out, another day of anger, bitterness, and doubt. I know how it happened, I saw it begin. I opened my heart to the world, and the world came in. Hello, Mary Lou. Hello, Miss Pearl. My fleet-footed guides from the underworld. No stars in the sky shine brighter than you. Girls mean business, and I do too. Well, I'm the enemy of treason, an enemy of sin. I just know what I know. I go where only the lonely can go.
False Prophet from Bob Dylan's Rough and Rowdy Ways. You like this much more than I did, Greg, this album. I respect Bob, of course. We can't not remark on him having just sold his entire, 50, 60-year catalog.
Yeah.
What do you think that means?
A major deal. Well, I think it means that he wants to get paid, but not that he wasn't getting paid before. People think, oh,
$300 million.
The label is going to, or the publishing deal is going to ruin his songs because he's going to start using them in ads. He's already been doing that.
Yeah.
It's not like anything's really going to change.
Victoria's Secret,
that much.
Famously.
I think he's laying away this stuff for, you know, his estate. He's thinking about the future. He's a 79-year-old man, soon to be 80. You know, he's thinking about what happens when I'm gone. What's going to happen to this publishing after I'm gone? Who's going to look after it? He trusts Universal to do that for him.
All right. Well, you know, good for Bob. You know, everybody on Twitter or Facebook has an opinion about Bob
have sold. Sure. Everybody has an opinion.
So this is a bonus podcast, and as luck would have it today, every siren in Chicago is sounding, every car alarm, the guys who are working out on the street putting bricks in. But I'm having fun, and I know you are, Greg. I want to go to number 13 on my list because we're skipping over a few so as not to repeat each other. Soccer Mommy. This is a record that our intrepid producer, Andrew Gill, turned me on to. You know, and I think he was wondering if I would actually like it because it could be on the wrong side of Twee. But I think as executed, the second album by Soccer Mommy, Color Theory, is in your face, honest, emotional, skirting everything that could sink it. It is not a pretentious twee indie record. Sophie Allison started out as a high school student making music at the Nashville School of the Arts, invented the Soccer Mommy persona. For album number two, she had some ambition. She wanted to write about the themes of sadness, illness, loneliness, and loss. Wow. Mm. Yeah, those are the themes of 2020. She wanted to do it in a particular way. She was drawing inspiration from old cassette tapes she'd made of songs she'd written, and she wanted to link them together. Now, Allison has a superpower that I long have wished I had. Synesthesia, the ability to see sound as colors. So these songs of sadness, illness, loneliness, loss are linked with a color palette that, you know, all of that sounds very Eno-esque high concept, but instead what you have is this direct from the gut, very honest letter about, in song form, about a young woman coping with depression. And I dare say there isn't anybody who hasn't been in her place over these last 12 months. You know, what she's asking for is diversion, deliverance, catharsis. She sings, "Sedate me all the time, don't leave me with my mind." That's from one of the 10 tracks I love. I really love the whole record. This is Crawling in My Skin by Soccer Mommy, aka Sophie Allison. In My Skin by Soccer Mommy, number 13 on my list. What are you up to? Number 10?
I'm at number 10, Jim, with a record called Mama, You Can Bet! Exclamation point from an artist named Yodi. That is actually an alter ego for a longtime jazz producer, multi-instrumentalist, Georgia Ann Muldrow. She's been making records since 2006 under various guises. The Yodi series of albums seem to be a more personal take on her her music, in that she is playing all the instruments, singing the vocals. I mean, there are a few guest musicians here and there, but largely this is a totally self-contained effort. That name, that artist name that she has, Yoti, that's J-Y-O-T-I, that was given to her by the great late Alice Coltrane. She said, "Why don't you try this?" And she said, "That sounds great. You know, let's give me an operation to move into a different realm." You know, people talk about jazz. Okay, they're jazz allergic. I've got two sort of jazz influence, or certainly jazz, straight up jazz records in my top 20. Another artist I want to point out, Nubya Garcia, with a record called Source at number 14, in this Yodi record, Mama, You Can Bet, at number 10. I think these are good baby steps for people to take in terms of getting introduced to this genre by young artists who are creating really contemporary work that speaks beyond genre. You hear in Yoti's approach a lot of hip-hop, as well as African music, soul. She's referencing inspirations like Sun Ra and Charles Mingus in this record as well. So there's a lot of avenues to access this music. Here's the title track from Yoti's Mama, You Can Bet on Sound Opinions. Yodi, Mama, You Can Bet, my number 10 album of the year. Jim, you got another one for us.
I do, Greg. I got to give a nod to Uncle Bob. Bob Mould. We had him on the show just a couple of episodes ago. I almost feel guilty. You know, I've been listening to and loving Bob Mould since I was 17, sneaking into Maxwell's Underage in Hoboken, seeing Husker Du. I think I first saw them circa Metal Circus. Mm-hmm. All right. Bragging rights. I'm so cool. No, I actually feel guilty when I go back to artists like Bob Mould or Wire, earned a place on my list this year again for an excellent album. Because, you know, I say to myself and force myself to listen then for the 12th, 13th time with the harsh ear, am I giving him a pass because he is so much of my life? No, I can honestly say that on Blue Hearts, Mould's new solo album, he has never been angrier. Now, to be clear, you know, he's never been a shrinking violet. You know, the fury, the rage, the seeking of catharsis was always there through Husker Du in Sugar. You know, it was there, but he wanted to sell alternative rock records and make money. Black Sheets of Rain from his first solo offering. You know, that's great. All right. You know, but the journey he's been on, it's interesting that Bob is so frank now. You got to remember, this is a guy from Minnesota. So having lived there twice for 2 years at a time each time, you know, there is that Minnesota reticence that the Coen brothers capture so well. You know, the superficial politeness, you know, the yeah, you betcha, you know, or if you really want to, if you really, something really turns you off, well, that's different. That's the reaction. That is Minnesota. I say that with justification. Bob is now talking not only about his righteous fury about the state of America and what politics have become. This is a man who, as a gay man, saw so many friends die of AIDS and the Reagan administration do so little for so long to combat that plague. Well, now he's 10 times angrier and more honest. The song Leather Dreams, you know, I'm going to play enough angry songs about the state of America in 2020 on the rest of this episode. And this is the bonus podcast, right? So I can get away, I think, with playing Leather Dreams. This is Bob talking about some sexual fantasies that I don't share, but none other than John Worster, great drummer, said that this is the dirtiest song he's ever played on. And with all of his experience in punk rock, that's saying something. And I got to say, Worster and Jason Narduzzi are the best rhythm sections that Bob Mould has had since Grant Hart and Greg Norton in Husker Du. I mean, they are just fantastic. The band is fantastic. The song is fantastic. Leather Dreams by Bob Mould from Blue Hearts. Bob Mould going to a bar I've never been to, but I'm glad he enjoyed himself there.
I hear you. Bob Mould, he's had a run, much like Dylan in, you know, the latter part of his career, which should be the latter part of his career, treading on old hits, right? He has refound himself in these last few records in terms of the approach he's taken, and I love this record as well. When we return, we're going to share even more of our favorite albums of 2020 in this bonus episode. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My co-host is Greg Cott, and you are listening to a bonus podcast-only episode of the show. In this episode, we are rounding out our best albums of 2020 lists, and the whole of those lists, all top 20 selections from each of us, can be found at soundopinions.org. But Greg, you're up.
Yes, I'm up, Jim, and I want to highlight a British band named Porridge Radio that I really, really love. Their second record is called Every Bad. And in particular, the vocalist, singer-guitarist, Dana Margolin, what a voice, what a presence that she has on this record. This is kind of one of those albums that you almost feel it's so explosive that it feels spontaneous. It was feel like it was created in the moment. It wasn't scripted in any way. Of course, that's completely far-fetched. They obviously wrote these songs, they worked on and produced them, etc. But there's a spontaneity to the energy on this record that really is attractive to me. And it starts with that first song. I think they speak to the year that we've just had, and it looks like we're heading into a similar kind of experience in the first half of 2021 as well. It's a track called Born Confused, and I can relate. Where Dana Margolin sings, "What is going on with me?" And by extension, what is going on with us? you know, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to deal with all this stuff that's coming at us all of a sudden from every direction. This record sort of negotiates that terrain. And what else? You know, guitar, bass, and drums. Never goes out of fashion when it's used this well, as far as I'm concerned. It is one of the great indie rock albums of the year, and it's by Porridge Radio. Here's a track called Born Confused from Every Bad on Sound Opinions.
I'm bored to death, let's argue. I'm bored to death, let's argue. I'm bored to death, let's argue. What is going on with me? And maybe I was born confused, and baby, I was born confused, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe nothing's going on, and everyone I know is down in the dumps about it. And everyone I know is down in the dumps about you now. And maybe I was born confused, but I'm not. And maybe I was born and I knew and I forgot. Well, maybe I was born confused, and baby, I was born confused, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe nothing's going on. And maybe I was born confused, and baby, I was born confused, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe nothing's going on. Thank you for leaving me. Thank you for making me happy. Thank you for leaving me. Thank you for making me happy. Thank you for leaving me. Thank you for making me happy. Thank you for leaving me. Thank you for making me happy. Thank you for making me happy. Thank you for making me happy.
That is Born Confused from Porridge Radio, the number 9 record on my top 10 list, Jim.
Ah, I'm up to number 9 as well, Greg, and I know that this record earned a place on your list somewhere else. All this number, these numbers confuse me. Lydia Loveless, Daughter. We have been fans of Lydia Loveless throughout her career, at least her solo career. She started out playing in a band. She went solo. We had her on the show back on episode 348. She did a Hooked on Sonics on 599. She does not get a pass from us. We're going to listen critically with every new record she puts out. But man, this one once again knocked me on my butt. Lydia has been through a lot, and she took some time to regroup. There was a divorce from her husband. There was a divorce from her label, Bloodshot Records, recording independently now, fourth album that she's putting out as a solo artist. There's a lot of introspection, but there's a lot of anger as well, and just a lot of honesty. I mean, her ability at turning a phrase and her ability at driving it through your skull with the power of that voice, man, she just grabs me, absolutely grabs me. I want to play a song that she did as a partnership called September with Laura Jane Grace of Chicago, who also put out a fine solo record this year. And it's got cello on it by another fine musician, Nora Barton. September by Lydia Loveless.
So even though I don't know where to go, where to the end of Kaufman Road, but I can feel the wet grass on my cheek, and I think this time it's really over. Is anybody gonna rescue me? Can I get some things people never really see. So I know the turnpike ain't the place to be.
Lydia Loveless and Laura Jane Grace, September. You love that record too, don't you?
I did. It was just outside my top 10, number 11. And I also love that Lydia chose, what a name for her independent label, Honey, You're Going to Be Late.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that a few times.
She's got a wicked sense of humor. She does.
Anyway, the next record I want to highlight, Jim, is the number 8 record on my list. We talked to the singer of the band Idols, Joe Talbot. Had a great old time talking to Mr. Talbot a few weeks ago.
He can go on and on and on. We could have talked to him for about 6 hours.
Super articulate guy, super passionate guy, and you can hear it in Ultramano, their third album, but you've heard it in every one of their records. Brutalism in 2017, Joy as an Act of Resistance in 2018, which I think is the peak of their career. But Ultramano, right next to it in terms of just the visceral thrill you get from listening to this band.
I had him on the second half of my list too, but the problem is I feel like it's we've only gotten halfway there, that I'm not going to really appreciate the songs on Ultramano until we get to see them live. Well, because this is one of the best live bands in rock today, and it's like they're giving it to us. They're fighting in the ring with one hand tied behind their back.
Yes. Among the tragedies of the year is that we could not see many of these great bands do perform these records live, and in Idols certainly. A band that benefits from seeing them in the flesh.
You know, and they are pals and kindred spirits with Savages. And, you know, he appears on Jenny Beth's new album. I'm even willing to say that maybe Jenny Beth's album didn't suck as much as I said it did if I saw it live. But I haven't seen it live. But still, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be something. And I loved Idol's record, but I imagine they would have shot up higher if I'd seen them live.
What appeals to me about this is a kicking band. I mean, they are full on all the time, and they are not wishy-washy in any way. They are right up front about their beliefs, anti-racist, anti-misogynist, anti-class warfare. You know, it is about, you know, human rights. And, it you know, there is sort of a side to that where you go, I don't want people preaching at me. I don't want people jabbing me in the chest with their opinions.
Yeah.
But he tempers these viewpoints with one, vulnerability. The guy's willing to admit, I'm weak. I need to get stronger in terms of my personal belief system. I was once a failure. I'm trying to do better now as a man, as a human being. And two, the sense of humor. There's a sense of humor that pops up in a lot of these songs. It's deeply sarcastic at times, but it tempers the velocity of these tracks, which, you know, if you just love the sound of a rock band in full roar, Idols will deliver that kick much in the same way as that Bob Mould record does with John Worster and Jason Narduzzi.
But something to think about as well.
Correct. This is War from Ultramano by Idols on Sound Opinion.
Greg Kot's number 8 album, the Ultramano by Idols. That was a song called War. Coming up, we're going to share more of our favorite albums of 2020 in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot. He's Jim Yurigatis. And this week, we're sharing even more of the music we love this year in our podcast exclusive episode. Jim, you've got another favorite album of the year for 2020, right?
I do. I have two in this segment that'll get me to the second half of my list. I made this point when we were talking about the first part of our list in the episode that aired on the radio. I think that the Americana, alts rock, roots rock, whatever you want to call it, so much labeling these critics always do, I think that genre has given us the angriest, most cathartic music of the year. And that's saying something when you're talking about stuff like Idols and Bob Mould being beside it. But the anger musically matched with the anger lyrically is what really, really got me excited. So my last two records are more examples in that vein. Margot Price, That's How Rumors Get Started, her third studio album. I think her partnership with husband Jeremy Ivey, co-songwriter, band member, is right up there with Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires. What a power couple. And some incredible musicians contributing here. Bassist Pino Palladino and Ben Montench of Tom Petty's band, recorded in the studio in Los Angeles where Pet Sounds was made. So there's a little bit of that Laurel Canyon vibe that seemed to be everywhere in the air this year and last year as well. A little Fleetwood Mac, who I don't really like, but Margot pulls it off because of the humor and the strength of her voice. You know, she is singing about our celebrity obsessed culture. That's how rumors get started. She's singing about you know, love and how it can disappear and how you have to work at it every day to maintain it. It's just, it's brilliant. It's angry. It's a look at the state of America in 2020 from her perspective. I'm going to play that track I just mentioned. That's How Rumors Get Started, the title track of the album, on Sound Opinions.
It's been a while since I've been on this side of town. Don't cross the river much these days. Haven't been avoiding you, hardly ever around. Sure we could talk, but what would I say? Right behind my back, that's how rumors get started, that's how rumors get started.
That's How Rumors Get Started, name of the song, name of the album, Margot Price. I just love that voice, Greg.
She's terrific. That album was in my top 20 as well, Jim. You know, there's a strain of, for lack of a better term, I think I call it sort of feminist country. Although to say that's country music is really doing it a disservice as well, because these are multi-genre artists. But I'm thinking of people like not only Margot Price, but Lydia Loveless and the Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks, as well as Lucinda Williams, who released really strong records in 2020. With a perspective that included country music as well as a whole lot of other musical influences, but also just the attitude and the perspective on those records, I think was a strong commentary on our times. Speaking of strong commentaries, Kariki is a new band led by one Ian MacKay and his wife, Amy Farina. Ian, of course, the founder of Fugazi, as well as prior to that, Minor Threat. He was in a band with Farina called The Evens for the last 2 years, and now he's starting a new project that sort of came out of the blue. It just, you know, just appeared. Here's a new band with Ian MacKay and Amy Farina. They are joined by Joel Alley, the bassist in Fugazi. So now we basically have half of a Fugazi reunion on this record, which is, you know, great news as far as I'm concerned. Lally, and, you know, he is a great bass player. There's a little bit of a reggae feel to some of what he's doing. There's a melodic feel to what he's doing. And, you know, combined with Mackay's guitar and Farina's drumming, you've got one hell of a good power trio behind some songs that are with typically, in typical Mackay fashion, in typical Farina fashion, are not at all, you know, lowest common denominator stuff. These are thinking person's songs about subjects both topical. I mean, we've got a song about drone strikes in the Middle mm-hmm. East on this record, and then a song like the one I'm going to play, which is a little slice of domestic turmoil called Too Many Husbands. Too Many Husbands from the self-titled debut album from Kariki on Sound Opinions.
Large heart, the teeny tiny, teeny tiny mind undone. Too many husbands in and out the door. Too many stores. Kill loves. Needs unknown cookie cutters. Spilling out the drawer. So on, and now you wanna take a shot.
That's Too Many Husbands. The band's name is Kariki. That's Ian Mackay reunited with Fugazi bassist Joe Lally, as well as with his wife, drummer Amy Farina, on Sound Opinions. Jim, you've got one more pick for us.
I do, but first I have to say, talk about the reticence to hype one's latest project. We talked to Ian for more than an hour and a half, not long
Didn't
ago.
Right? Say a word.
Doesn't say a word. You know, I admire that. Greg, I want to wrap up with Drive-By Truckers, The Unraveling. I really, really love this album. Came in at number 7 on my list. And, you know, not far above it at number 4 was Jason Isbell's Reunions. Of course, Isbell originally a member of the Drive-By Truckers. They've both been doing incredible stuff on their own. The Truckers released this album, The Unraveling, at the end of January. So I think we forgot how great it was. In fact, in listening to it a bunch more times to get ready to talk about it again, I'm wondering if I undersold it at number 7. And then at the end of October, the Truckers put out another mini album.
Yeah.
Right? Part 2. I don't think, you know, this is sort of an odds and sods collection, I think, the new OK album number 2. So I won't put it, as you did, the two records Salt put out, counted as one. Mm-hmm. I won't really count it as one, although there is a standout moment. They cover The KKK Took My Baby Away by the Ramones. Wow. And that has new resonance now. But The Unraveling is pretty much a perfect record, beginning to end. Looking through the eyes of Mike Cooley and Patterson Hood at America today. Babies in cages, heroin again, grievance merchants. You know, all you have to do is read the song titles mm-hmm. and you see what they are seeing. They are kids of the South, children of the South, now parents of the South, and a lot of what they see they do not recognize as their homeland, and they're taking issue with it. Never more powerfully than on this song, Thoughts and Prayers. And the way that chorus comes around, that refrain comes around, lays bare what an absurd and pathetic and hurtful response those two things, thoughts and prayers, are to dead babies, mm-hmm. to school shootings, right? I mean, you know, we offer you thoughts and prayers. I mean, and then there are corpses of children on the streets of America in playgrounds, in schools, and yet we do nothing about it. The whole album, as I said, is indicative of the anger that many Americana roots rock artists are displaying at the state of America today. And I think it really is a true sense of the pulse of this country. The Unraveling, the song is Thoughts and Prayers, Drive-By Truckers.
When the carnage was over, you could hear the cell phones ringing. You could smell gunpowder in the air. And on the bloody ground, the LEDs were blinking. Deliver us from evil thoughts and prayers. They're lined up on the playground, their hands all in the air. See it on our news feed and we cry out in despair. They're counting up the casualties, everyone's choosing sides. There's always someone to blame, never anywhere to hide. Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers.
Drive-by truckers say the country's unraveling. Maybe it's starting to get a little more raveled. We can hope in 2020, Greg.
Let us hope.
Tied back together. Thanks again for listening to the second half of our Best of 2020 list, this special bonus podcast that we did just to thank all of you for being with us on this ride. If you enjoyed this content, want more like this, except without the noise in the background, please support Sound Opinions via our Patreon and or our PayPal links, which will be listed in the show notes. And please let us know your favorite albums of 2020 by recording a voice memo on your phone and sending it to interact@soundopinions.org. Almost time for New Year's resolutions, Greg. One of our big goals is getting many more listeners' voices in the show.
Absolutely.
In 2021. Less work that we have to do. But also, we love hearing from people. We do. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Friday with a whole new show, a little slicker, a little more pro.